Charlie White tries to ban cameras from a recount commission hearing. Why he won't get his way. The White call for an investigation into a special prosecutor. Mike Pence kicks off his campaign for governor and the public safety issue in the race for mayor of Indianapolis. That plus plans to revamp Monument Circle and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending June 17, 2011.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Secretary of State Charlie White prepared for a recount commission hearing where his ability to serve will be on the line, and his attempt to keep TV cameras out of that hearing was unsuccessful. The recount commission has never before conducted a hearing outside of public view. White's attorney, Jim Bopp, argued both against television coverage and against internet streaming of the hearing. Streaming is something that state government did previously in two hearings in this same case. Bopp lost on both fronts. Next week's hearing will be open to cameras and streamed live on the internet, despite this argument.
And I would think that having a witness here and a camera literally in the witness's face is not necessary to broadcast and is unnecessarily intrusive and intimidating.
I think we're going to concede that there will be cameras at this hearing, and I've heard your concern about placement, and we'll discuss that with the media, how they place the cameras.
What is Charlie White trying to hide? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender, State House Bureau Chief for the Louisville Courier-Journal, and John Ketzenberger, President of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, what do you make of that request to ban cameras?
Oh, I don't think he wants to take the Fifth Amendment on camera is what this is all about. I mean, if you're advising him on the criminal case, you tell him to take the Fifth Amendment, because any admission he makes is going to condemn him on the criminal side. So that's what he's trying to avoid, and which points out the lunacy of him trying to hold on to an office with the facts as they are. He should have, as I said before, stepped down a long time ago and saved his family and himself a lot of grief.
He's also, he's trying to avoid taking the Fifth, because he asked the recount commission for immunity. They said no. So he then asked the state Supreme Court to dismiss the case. They said no. He asked the special prosecutor for immunity. He said no. And now he's asked Judge Rosenberg, who's overseeing the recount commission proceeding. He's trying awfully hard not to answer the question.
Yeah, he is, and I think that's troublesome in its own right. I don't see how they could have thought that they were going to come up with any answer other than the one they got on the cameras in the courtroom. I mean, Tom Wheeler and company are not going to start allowing them to stop doing that now, and it's always been an open process, and they weren't going to let that happen this time either.
Well, what about the immunity request?
Yeah, but, well, you know, I mean, I don't blame them for trying every avenue that they can try, but it's fallen on deaf ears every time. I don't know that they're going to ever get another outcome on that one.
I think this is just a sign of the desperation of the situation that he finds himself in. I mean, he's being fought in on every front. He's being challenged in his right to even have the office. He's being challenged legally in criminal proceedings. I mean, I think he's doing everything he can to try to get out of it in at least one avenue, and so far, not successful.
They also, there was a motion to the recount commission to keep his wife from testifying. That too failed. I mean, at some point here, this screams desperation.
Well, I think if Charlie White were playing poker, he would have folded his hand by now. But he's not playing poker. He's a very serious game. He's tried every card he can. It's turned up a loser every time. He'll continue to press the process, and that's his prerogative, but it certainly doesn't look very good for him at this point.
Does it help his case?
I don't think anything helps his case. When we talked about this from the beginning, this isn't a he said, she said situation. The facts are there, and the facts speak for themselves, and he's going to be convicted of this, okay? If he goes forward with this proceeding, he's going to lose on the criminal side for certain. I don't know what happens on the election commission side, because that could be partisan. But nonetheless, he's going to lose.
Well, if he takes the fifth before the recount commission, will that prevent them from finding the facts that they need in order to rule against him?
I can't answer that. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it will. I think they're going to make a decision, and I think they're going to do it next week and get it over with.
All right. Still with this, Dan Sigler, one of the two special prosecutors handling the criminal case against Secretary of State Charlie White, is speaking out this week about a recent complaint filed against him by Charlie White. It's a complaint that the special prosecutor calls bogus. He says it's an attempt by White to, quote, create smoke. White recently filed the complaint in Allen County. It says Sigler, seen here, committed the same crime that he's accused of, voter fraud. White faces six felony counts related to the charges that he intentionally voted in a precinct where he didn't live. The White complaint says that Sigler, his wife, and his ex-wife did the same thing over a six-year period. Sigler, by phone, said the charges are wrong and false.
It's one of those things that happens when you're in an official position doing a criminal investigation. People don't like that, and they respond in sometimes bizarre ways. Whatever he's trying to do is, in my opinion, merely a diversion to keep the attention off of him and his criminal problems.
Mike McDaniel, what do you make of that?
This one is really puzzling to me. I don't know. I just wonder where his legal counsel is on this one. He's got to be doing this against the judgment and advice of counsel, because you're just digging a hole for yourself by doing this. If you don't have the facts, and if you can't prove these kind of allegations that they're throwing around, you shouldn't be doing this stuff. Now, it is under advisement in the prosecutor's office in Allen County. They said they are looking at it.
They said they would review it.
But yeah. unless you've got this nailed down, I sure wouldn't be throwing this kind of stuff out there.
It seems like he should be working on his own defense instead of investigating somebody else.
He has used incredibly poor judgment from the beginning of this, and the way he's handled it after the revelations hasn't shown that judgment to be improved at all. I mean, he's made attacks against Senator Lugar and against virtually everybody he can think of. If he thinks he throws enough muds, people will forget that he was the chief election officer and he did this deliberately to keep his health insurance. I mean, it really boggles the mind. And putting his mother in the paper with this, too, every mother loves her son, okay? And every defendant I've ever prosecuted had a mother who loved the son who didn't think he was guilty. But putting her out there like that is really tacky.
Well, I'm not sure what you're referring to is Charlie White's mother this week filed a tort claim saying that she intends to sue because of the way she was treated in front of the grand jury when she was asked to testify. Her attorney, who I believe is her husband, filed that tort claim. But it's all just taking on circus proportions.
Taking on. I think it's been a circus for more than a couple of months now.
For anybody who remembers the old TV show Dallas, this is making that family look functional. It's starting to get out of hand. And, you know, I understand, the circumstance, and I understand he feels like he's being wrongly prosecuted. Let the system run its course, and if you have these kinds of things to bring up, then bring them up. But it just looks bad now. The timing has been poor, and I think it was Ann who said, has gone against the advice of counsel apparently many times. We've seen it on a couple of occasions, and that's not good for the client.
It makes him seem like sour grapes in every way. I mean, he clearly has made accusations about Lugar. He's mad at all the Republicans who haven't supported him. He's mad at everyone who is involved in the prosecution or in the case, even people who, it's not like they're bringing the charges. I mean, they've been appointed to positions in which they're involved in the case, and he just can't seem to get past the fact that this is happening to him.
Charlie White has always been a fighter. I've known Charlie White a long time, and he is a guy who if you want to be in a political fight, you wanted him with you because he's that kind of guy. And once he believes, and I think he is, it feels like he's been wrongly prosecuted in this deal. But when you start muddling a good political fight with the legal system, mm-hmm. you're really causing yourself problems. And I think that's what he's done here.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, how long will Charlie White be in office? Your choices are A, weeks, B, months, or C, years. Last week's question was, should Mayor Ballard be given control of failing schools? 63% said yes, 31% said no, 6% said, let's see if he wins re-election first. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Congressman Mike Pence formally announced his 2010 campaign for governor this week. Supporters who came by the busload got a free meal and a big dose of country music. Pence picked Columbus, his hometown, as the location to launch his bid. The Republican frontrunner gave a speech filled with references to faith and family, making it clear that social issues will be a part of his campaign.
As your governor, I will stand for the sanctity of life, the sanctity of traditional marriage, and the importance of religion in our everyday lives.
John Katzenberger, does anything about that kickoff surprise you?
No.
Nothing?
No. Look, it was a great production, and it was well done and well messaged and a big turnout. He's raised $300,000 from donors of 10,000 and above in the last month. He's doing everything he needs to do to, try to put himself out in front in this whole process. And so far, so good for Mike Pence.
Was it well messaged? I mean, the emphasis on social issues I find interesting at this stage.
Well, I think you wouldn't have probably expected anything else from Mike Pence. That is who he is, and that's what he believes in. And he's the kind of guy who's going to run the kind of campaign that is about things that he believes in. The most surprising thing to me through all of this was the previous day he spoke to reporters, and when asked, when are you going to get really specific about issues, he basically said 11 months after the GOP primary. Now, we've heard from some of his campaign folks that maybe it'll be a little sooner than that. But that's a long time to go without having some really specific proposals, not just talking about not talking about your goals, but talking about how you're going to actually get to your goals.
Yeah, he's clearly going to run as the guy who will best step into Mitch Daniels' footsteps. His theme is an even better Indiana. Can he get into trouble? Is he suggesting he can do a better job than Mitch Daniels?
Well, you have to. You have to. I mean, you can't run saying, I hope to do just as well. I mean, that didn't fly with anybody. I read the speech, and it was well orchestrated. Over 1,000 people there, and he's off to a great start financially with the fundraising. And the speech was not centered on social issues. The speech was centered on continuing to do the job that's been done here. And he says that everybody he talks to across Indiana are proud of what Mitch Daniels has done, but they want to make sure it keeps going. And he talked about jobs and education were the two major points that he made, and strong families. Those were the three things that he talked about. So jobs and education and strong families were the message, and he did it very well. And if you read that speech, it was really a pretty good speech.
John Gregg's out there campaigning as a Democrat. It seems to me that he had an opportunity to counter some of this, but chose not to. He keeps saying, I've just got an exploratory committee.
I don't think you do that. I don't think you step on someone's announcement. I think that's greasy kid stuff to do that. I think you let him have his day. The question I had is what he's running for. I mean, when you take that excerpt there, it sounds like he's running for Pope. I'm not sure. Is he eligible? I know he's married, but I don't know what his religion is. So, I thought he'd been Catholic, but maybe not. So, anyway, whatever it is, I think people are concerned about the economy and jobs in Indiana and education in Indiana. And he's going to have to talk about those specifically if he's going to have to be able to energize voters.
And in all fairness, though, John Gregg isn't talking about those things specifically,
too. John Gregg hasn't announced yet, either.
Nobody.
John Gregg and that's his answer. Whenever you ask him, what about something
specific,
he says, I haven't had it announced yet. Well, yeah, but he can do that for a really long time.
I don't think he'll do that for a really long time.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see how soon John Gregg actually does start talking about specifics, either.
I'm sure he will.
You have to be impressed, don't you, at his ability to get 1,000 people to Columbus on a Saturday
and the fundraising. Free food, it helps, too. But yeah. He really had a good, I mean, it's obviously well orchestrated. Money is not going to be a problem for him. He's going to get contributions in the $10,000 and $25,000 range left and right.
He's got a $100,000 one already.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know. If you don't care how much and who's giving, that's just fine. He'll have all the money he needs.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you've seen a lot of campaigns draw a lot of money and spend it poorly, and this is a sign that they know how to spend that money well, which will be an interesting course for the campaign to see what happens.
Moving on, Melina Kennedy, the Democratic candidate for mayor of Indianapolis, said this week that the city is at risk of losing federal funding by padding the staff numbers in the police department with park rangers. Kennedy also accused Mayor Greg Ballard of failing to keep a campaign promise to add 750 officers. She says crime is up and people don't feel safe.
We do not have enough officers to cover beats currently, and that federal funding for cops is potentially in jeopardy, and that the city is padding their funding by counting park rangers who are supposed to be here protecting parks as sworn officers who are covering crime beats.
Leslie Weidenbender, can Ballard counter that?
He can counter it intellectually, but this race, part of what this race comes down to is how are people feeling about their city, about their current economic situation, about their own neighborhood, and if people aren't feeling safe in their neighborhoods, if they feel like there's too much crime, then Melina Kennedy's argument is going to hold a lot of weight with people. And so, it doesn't come down to how many officers there are, what happens with this grant. It comes down to how safe are people feeling in their own homes.
She seemed to score a pretty good point with this park ranger hit, though. I mean, they said that we should have been including park rangers all along.
Well, if that was the case, why wasn't it done? I do think that shines an unflattering light on the current administration, and they can say previous administrations hadn't done it either, so, you know, but it's moogie floogie. I think that it gets right down to it. I think Leslie's exactly right. It's how people feel in the security of their own homes, and if they feel more secure, that's better for the mayor. If they feel less secure, then that's better for the challenger.
This has got TV ad written all over it.
Sure it does, and I think the cartoon that the Indianapolis Star had, which put the crossing guards in the same numerical count as the park rangers, I think you can just see where it can go from that. And the problem he has, I disagree in part. I mean, I think it is a lot about how people feel about safety, but when you make a specific promise in a campaign to add 750 officers and you not only haven't added them, but you've subtracted them, that's pretty hard. I mean, he can go back and say it's the governor's fault for the property tax cap. I'm not sure he wants to go there.
But he is saying that the budget's tight because of property tax caps.
So it's the governor's fault.
Well, I mean, back to my original question, can he counter it? Obviously, he can counter it. Can he counter it well?
Yeah, I think so. I think he can counter it easily, actually. I think they can make the case that crime is down in every category except for one, aggravated assault. It's down in every other one. And I think they can make that case easily. As far as the chance of losing federal grant, they're not losing any federal grant money.
But only because they're counting park rangers.
Well, but the Justice Department counts them, so if that's legit, then that's legit. And they are going to put a new class on this fall, which will take it up to the highest number it's ever been for IPD officers. Yes, he can counter this. And it is a problem because when he made that promise, they didn't have a $170 million deficit hole that they knew they had where they inherited from Peterson. They didn't have property tax caps yet.
But this is exactly
why
voters...
The COIT money was $37 million off.
Sure, you can explain it, but
that's right, and they will.
But that promise was a mistake
well,
at this point.
Well, if you explain it to people that the alternative is...
by somebody who never expected to be elected.
The alternative is, do you want us to raise your taxes to do this? And right now, people will tell you no.
But this is why voters have to be really careful of people who either have not held any office before or don't have a lot of experience in government. I'm not saying that those people shouldn't be elected. Yeah. I mean, certainly a lot of them make great officials, but it's a typical example of someone coming in and making a promise that I think almost everyone knew probably couldn't, everyone in the system knew was never going to be kept.
Here's the other part of that. You know, when Bart Pearson was mayor and they turned over responsibility for crime in Indianapolis to Frank Anderson, Ballard has restored that. He has taken that responsibility, and that's a big step, and that's a risky step. But he's willing to do that. And so, but, where was Melinda Kennedy when that happened? She didn't complain that they were giving it to Frank Anderson.
But what I'm saying is, on this issue, the Kennedy ad's a lot easier to make than the Ballard ad.
You can defend this easily. I tell her to take her best hold on that one, and we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
The state of Indiana delivered another blow to Planned Parenthood this week. The organization has been barred from participation in a tax credit program. A state agency rejected Planned Parenthood's application for a grant from the Neighborhood Assistance Program. The decision was based on the new law barring the organization from receiving taxpayer money. Planned Parenthood says the decision came as a surprise. The organization used the tax credit to help with donations. And, Delaney, should Planned Parenthood have anticipated that?
No. Because this doesn't have to do with tax money. This has to do with an individual who is a contributor to Planned Parenthood being able to get a tax credit. It's completely different, but it's a perfect example of why Mitch Daniels is declaring war on women in this, and he is going through with this, even though that statute does not require this action. But he wants to kick them while they're there.
The law does say that it talks about contracts. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that everybody was thinking about money at the time when this law passed. And I have to admit that at first blush, I thought that maybe I didn't understand this action either. But it does say contracts in there.
This is not a contract.
They're following the law.
They are not. Yes, they are not following the law.
They have to sign a contract to get the tax credits.
Will this result in another lawsuit?
But it doesn't involve any taxpayer money.
It involves taxpayer money, but
no,
money
doesn't
go to Planned Parenthood.
It involves the taxpayer getting a credit. No money goes through the state to the individual. It does not counter that statute, except
the state,
in their interpretation.
The state is following the law.
I would be surprised if this ended up in court as well.
That's exactly where it's
headed. All right. So another lawsuit maybe. In the meantime, the federal government weighed in on the current lawsuit this week. And told federal judge Tanya Walton Pratt that it ought to rule against the state and in favor of Planned Parenthood. You think that sways the decision?
I think that was to be expected. I think they've decided they're going to make Indiana the line of demarcation to show other states that this is where it's going to happen.
Do you think the judge listens?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to second guess a judge. I represent the judges' association.
This is federal. You don't represent her.
The truth is, the judge obviously will pay attention to all of the arguments in this case before she renders her decision.
And so, she was asking about this very issue specifically when she was talking with the attorneys in a previous hearing.
The injunction hearing.
She would be wrong not to listen to the arguments.
What do you make of the federal government getting involved in this case?
Well, I do find it really interesting that the federal government will get involved here, and the whole thing is interesting because I think the dispute between the state and the federal government hasn't played out its own course of action yet, and so you're fighting about the same things over in federal court that you're fighting at the administrative level, and it does seem to be sort of two tracks going off in different directions. It'll be interesting to see if Judge Walton Pratt is willing to step in at this point or she's going to want to wait to see where that administrative action goes.
In the meantime, two other states have passed similar laws.
Sure.
Well, I think that's
Republicans
that's why
control.
They're trying to draw the
and
line
they're
here.
They're making exactly war right. on women and children, and the federal government's intervening. God bless them.
Finally, the city of Indianapolis wants to redo Monument Circle, and it picked the winners in a design contest this week. The contest started in March, and each artist designed a new future for the circle. In the next 20 to 30 years, 64 people entered. First place was called Inertia to Inner Circle. That artist got $5,000. His view focused on new water features and green spaces. Second place went to Recentering Indianapolis, a plan to give the circle more of a neighborhood feel. And Nexus Indianapolis came in third. Its plan was to better link Monument Circle to the surrounding neighborhoods. The city had considered making the circle a pedestrian mall, but organizers say they are still considering how to revamp the circle. Mike McDaniel, has Monument Circle lost its relevance?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think it's the heart of this city. I think people see it that way. And I think there's going to be a lot of interest in these designs. I don't think the public has really seen them yet.
Right.
And I think there's no commitment to anything at this point. I think we're way down the road from any of this ever becoming a reality. But it's fun to look at this and figure out how you can improve that part of the heart of the city.
You see any monumental proposals?
Wow.
I think they can do better with the use. And I,
the place
I like
screams
the idea.
For an outdoor restaurant.
It does, and it screams for more greenery and trees in the location, and it probably screams against having cars go around it. So if they can get all of that together and make it more usable and more attractive, I think it's a great feature.
I think it's interesting to note that the winning entry came from someone who lives in France, so it does have international appeal.
It's the city.
The largest roundabout in the state. I disagree with Ann about the cars. Cars should always be a part of the process down there, but I'd like to see a more sophisticated and more vibrant circle. That'd be great.
Walking's good for you, John.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the Louisville Courier-Journal, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Week in Review under News. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in a thousand different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the thousand and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.